Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. It'll be sort of towards the middle of your Bible. Many times if you let your Bible fall open to the middle, it would probably fall somewhere near the book of Psalms or Proverbs. And just to the right of that, just next to that, will be a small book of the Bible called Ecclesiastes. It was written by Solomon. And Solomon was, for a time, certainly the wisest man on the earth. People think of him sometimes as the wisest man that ever lived. And he was certainly not wiser than Jesus Christ, though. And Solomon did, though, as a young man, he humbled himself and sought the Lord, and God gave him much wisdom. He sought for wisdom, and God made Solomon a wise man. But over time, Solomon's heart drifted, and he got caught up in a lot of things he shouldn't have. And really, he started living for a lot of vain, empty, worthless pursuits. And he realizes that as he comes to the end of his life. And the book of Ecclesiastes is really a book that kind of he goes and describes kind of his life and some regrets about his life for what he had lived for. And I want you to see something very, very important here towards the end of this book, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And let's look there at verses 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 and 10, it says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Chapter 12. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return from after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened." The eyes it's talking about. "And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low." Go down to verse number 13. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Let's pray. Father, please work in our hearts. I need you. Spirit of God, help me to say that the words that you want me to say. Please go to every seat, go to every person. And work on how you knew who would be here this morning. I had no idea. I never know who will be in church or who won't be in church. But God, you knew who would be here. And I pray for every young person. Pray for every older person. I pray, Lord, that we would have an open heart to you now and a heart and mind that is yielded to you, that wants you to speak to us, that desires you to speak to us. And Father, accomplish in us the work that you want, the purpose. Let your word not return void, but may it work in us to accomplish your will today. May it convict us and challenge us. May it change us for eternity, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We began to see some verses there in chapter 12, and it's a very old language and description and way of talking about it, almost a very old poetic way of describing, like the poems I had to read in high school and stuff. They had no clue what they were talking about. It is really poetic language, though, that gets used in describing, and as we think about it, we understand what these verses in chapter 12 mean. Really, he's reminding people that, hey, we get old. We get old. Our bodies don't last forever. We get older and our bodies begin to wear out. Many times people's backs begin to stoop. They begin to bow. Men begin to bow as they, or there's a bow in their back as they get older. People's eyesight becomes worse. And some of these things we see very clearly described in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. People's eyesight becomes worse. Sometimes people need glasses, maybe who never needed glasses before when they were younger, but now they've started needing them to read with and so on. Sometimes people develop cataracts and cannot see like they used to. Listen, as people get older, often their hearing gets worse. And seniors many times tend to not sleep as well at night as maybe they could when they were younger. Of course, many older people have to get up more often during the night to, you know, use the bathroom and so on. And maybe not like they had to when they were younger. And that's just a part of life. I'm just saying this. This old body doesn't last forever. Our bodies get old. And one day we die. We're not going to live forever. Our life on this earth is not forever. And the truth is, the reality is that the years of our life really pass by far quicker than we ever imagined when we're just a child or a teenager. Right? You remember people telling you that? When you were a child or when you were a teenager, your life will be gone before you know it. You'll get old before you know it. And yeah, sure. Kids don't understand it that way. But when the older you get, the more you understand, wow, where in the world is my life gone? You know, I may have lived over half my life now. I don't know how long I'm going to live. And just life truly does pass us by so quickly and then it's gone. And what will you have done with your life? What will I have done with my life? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 begins with a challenge that is somewhat directed towards young people, but let me tell you, it really ought to be directed to all of us. In a sense, we need to take this personally. It says in chapter 12, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. If you're a youth, if you're a teenager, or you're a young adult, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Because you know what? Before you know it, the day's going to come when you're getting old. And then your life is gone. Or hey, maybe this. Maybe you're a youth in your Christianity. Maybe you're young as a Christian. Young in your Christian life. Hey, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. This chapter, this passage, and this challenge here is a very vivid reminder to the person who's aging as well. No matter how old you may be right now, you are younger than you'll be tomorrow. No matter how old you may be today, you're younger than you'll be tomorrow. Remember now thy creator. Remember God now. Babies quickly become toddlers, and toddlers become preschoolers. Edie, you've had a little girl, and boy, I bet she's grown quickly, hasn't she, in your hindsight? Can you remember when she was born and just a baby, and now she's three, right? Yeah, where does it happen? Before she was a baby. And then when they're a baby, you know, you're excited about the day when maybe they'll walk. And then they start running and getting into things, and you wish they couldn't walk anymore. It just happens, doesn't it? They grow so quickly, and from a baby to a toddler and to a preschooler and then to maybe a grade school young person. And then before you know it, they're teenagers, and then they're young adults, and then they're leaving home, and then they're going to college, and then they're getting married, and then they're having children of their own, and then they're turning gray, and then they're getting older, and then they're becoming grandparents, and poof! But I mean, before you know it, life has passed. Life is gone. I want to give you four words today to really think about. Four words I really want you to focus on and meditate on and think about in your life. These four words: rejoice, restrain, remove, and remember. Rejoice, restrain, remove, and remember. Look again at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, if you would. Look back to verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And notice there verses 9 and 10. It says, rejoice, O young man. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. First word I want you to remember is rejoice. Rejoice. Think about that word. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee. You know, God does not expect young people to be old people. When you are still young, rejoice, be happy, be young, be cheerful. Enjoy the life and the strength that God has given you. God does intend for life to be enjoyed. He wants it to be a fulfilling life. He does want it to be a joyful life and a great life. He wants you to have an abundant life. Enjoy it. When you're young and when you're strong and you've got strength and you've got energy, boy, rejoice and use that energy and use that strength. Rejoice. There will be days of responsibility and burdens ahead. Moses tells us, how to rejoice, though, with true joy unspeakable. Notice the heart's desire of Moses. We see the prayer of Moses in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 14. He says, "Oh, satisfy us early, early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." All our days. Make sure the way that you rejoice in your youth and the way that you rejoice when you're a young teenager or you're a young man or a young lady or a young adult, make sure that the things you do and the way you rejoice and the things you enjoy, make sure that they're things that you'll enjoy all the days of your life. Make sure they're not things that later you'll have regrets about. Rejoice. Rejoice. Satisfy us early, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. From the days of your youth until the days of your old age, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the blessing of the Lord. The way to always live rejoicing is to let God satisfy your soul, even from the early years of your life, even from the early years, even from the days of your youth. Rejoice in Him. Let Him be your satisfaction. Find your contentment in Him. You know that young people can rejoice and love life and have a great time and be full of joy and so on, but they can also at the same time be serious about godly living, and they can be satisfied with Him. They don't have to think, well, I've got to find something for my heart. I've got to find something that brings me happiness. No, you can rejoice and have a great time, but also find great satisfaction in Him and in knowing Him and loving Him and in living for Him. Young people can be satisfied with Him. Young people can pray. You know, young people can walk with the Lord. Young people can get to know the Lord. Young people can find satisfaction and contentment and joy and pleasure in Jesus Christ. You know, the happiest young people in the world, the truly happiest young people in the world, are those who are satisfied with Christ and those who have surrendered their hearts and lives to Him at an early stage of life. Who early in life surrendered to Him, who early in life trusted Him, who early in life decided, "I want to follow Him," who early in life decided, "I want to get to know Him." And they were sober and serious at the same time, enjoyed life and enjoyed even the Christian life too. Boy, it's not meant to be something that, "Oh, I'm meant to enjoy life now, but maybe when I'm old I'll be a Christian or live that Christian stuff." Oh, it's okay for my grandparents, or it's okay for my parents. No, hey, it's okay for you now. Rejoice and have a great time. But make sure that what you rejoice in and what you find your pleasure in and satisfaction in doesn't end up leaving you with great regrets in some of the older days of your life as well. Rejoice. Rejoice. Use your strength and energy and do great things and have a great time and anything you want to do. You know, do some of those things. But also use all that strength and energy for the Lord as well. Rejoice. Number one is rejoice. Number two, restrain. Restrain. Look again with me at the Bible here. I want you to see it in God's Word clearly, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And look at verse number 9. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the waves of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou." Don't forget. "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad." You know, this particular word, restrain, this word restrain is not found in those verses, but the truth is very clearly in those verses. The principle is in those verses. Rejoice and have a great time and enjoy life, but restrain yourself. Make sure that the things you do and as you enjoy life and as you have a good time, make sure it's not things that you'll regret later or regret when you're old, regret when you're married, regret when you're a father, regret when you're a grandparent, regret when you stand before God one day at the judgment seat of Christ. Have a great time. Enjoy life. But restrain yourself. Restrain yourself. You don't want to enter into marriage one day or enter into parenthood one day or stand before God at the judgment one day. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have done some of those things in my youth. Honestly, many people in this room, I'm sure, could testify with me and say, oh, I wish for some things I never did. The grace of God and the mercy of God, He loves you. May the grace of God will overcome an awful lot in your life. Maybe you're never saved, weren't saved when you did some things you'd have regrets about now. But let me tell you something. God loves you where you're at right now, and God has a wonderful plan for your future no matter where you are. Hey, you may be just now in the youth as a Christian. You may be in your infancy as a Christian. You may be just in your childhood days as a Christian, if you will. And remember God now and live for God now. There may be some things in the past that you can't change, but you can remember God now. You can remember God now and restrain yourself from things that you would regret one day at the judgment seat of Christ. Number one, remember the word rejoice. Number two, remember the word restrain. Should we rejoice? Yes, rejoice. Enjoy your youth. Have a good time, but restrain yourself. The Bible says, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Restrain yourself because you'll give account to God one day. You'll stand before God one day. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Restrain yourself from sinful passions. Flee from youthful lusts. Flee from worldly influences. Don't forget that payday is coming. Payday is coming. Payday is coming. Payday is coming. We'll pay for it. We'll pay for it. Be not deceived, the Bible says, Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That shall he also reap. Numbers 32, 23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. That's a Bible verse. That's the word, God, word of God. Be sure your sin will find you out. 2 Timothy 2, 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Remember, restrain. Restraint. Rejoice, 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 and have a good time, and enjoy your life, and enjoy the strength that you have. But don't let it lead you into doing things that one day you'll regret. Remember, restraint. To restrain yourself, knowing that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Rejoice, restrain. Number three, remove. Remove. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and look at down at verse number 10. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 10. It says, therefore remove sorrow. Remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Can I tell you this clearly? Remove sin from your life that will rob you of joy. Remove the sin, put away the evil, remove sin from your life that will rob you of joy and only cause you sorrow later. Don't live with skeletons in your closet that will come out to haunt you one day. Sin causes sorrow. Sin always causes sorrow. Sin causes us hurt. Sin causes us pain. Sin robs people of joy. Sin causes strife. Sin brings trouble. Sin brings heartache. Sin brings regrets. We don't want to live in such a way where we've got things that, oh, it comes back later and it causes us so much sorrow. Remove the sin. Put away the evil. Repent of the sins of your youth. Make things right with the Lord. Confess and forsake your sins. As a child of God, live right and live in close fellowship with God. Don't do things that hinder that relationship with your Father in heaven. 1 John 1 and verse 9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will. He will. But we're going to have to remove it. Don't just sow your wild oats because one day those seeds will grow up. Remove sin. Remove evil from your life, because one day it will cause great heartache and grief. Sin is never as good as the devil makes it seem. The devil has never made sin look bad. He makes it look real good. He makes it look real enticing, real alluring, real pleasurable to the eyes. A fruit to be desired by the eyes. Oh, he's going to make it look good. Oh, look what I have to offer you. Oh, look at, he doesn't make sin look bad. When he tries to lead us astray, when he tries to tempt us to sin, he doesn't show us the end results of that. He just shows us the glamour of it. He doesn't show us the destruction that it could bring to a marriage. He doesn't show us the drunk driving accident that could happen when we become a drunkard. He didn't. No, he just appeals to us in the beginning to make it look so enticing. He doesn't show us how our marriage could be destroyed, how this could be destroyed with just a little unfaithfulness, just a little bit of this, just a little bit of a fling, just a little bit of a relationship with so and so at work. No, he tries to make it look so good, but it's always terrible in the end. Horrible. Afterwards, it brings great sorrow. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. The fun of sin is very temporary, and it will be fun. Satan will make it fun, but it's temporary. It does not last. It'll bring great sorrow in the end. James chapter 1, look there with me if you would. We'll come back to Ecclesiastes, but towards the very end of your Bible, James chapter 1 and verse 14 and verse number 15 is a verse we studied in Sunday school. James 1 and verses 14 and 15. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth more joy. More fun? No. Bringeth forth death. Death. Oh, sin is pleasurable for a little while, but when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. It bringeth forth destruction. You'll not be able to remove the sin or put away the evil from your life if you've not first been saved. You must truly be born again. We must be regenerated. We must be born again. You must believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You must receive Him as your personal Savior. When we do that, we'll have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. In 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You may say, I can't do it. I can't live a pure life. I can't live. I can't put away the sin. The pressures are too great, or the temptations are too great. I can't do it in this day and age. But that's a lie. That's a lie that the devil wants us to believe. You can be victorious. We can be victorious over sin and temptation through the resurrection power of Christ. Paul gave us a great promise to claim in Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can overcome sin. We can overcome temptation. We can remove the evil and put away the evil. Why? And why should we do it? Because we want to remove the future sorrow. We want to remove the sorrow and heartache and trouble that will come in our future if we don't put it away right now. If we don't put it away. Oh, put away sin, put away the evil, put away those things. It'll come back. We need to trust in the one who's already defeated sin for us on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ saves us from the penalty of sin, and He also sets us free from the power of sin. One old preacher said this, unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon succumb to that which is about us. Unless there is within us that which is above us, we will soon succumb to that which is about us. And that's true. Oh, how we're going to need to be saved first, of course, and have the Holy Spirit of God living in me. How can I overcome temptation? How can I overcome the flesh if I don't have the Holy Spirit of God living in me? Listen, if you're not saved, you must first truly be saved, be born again, become a child of God. Because through Him, then the Spirit of God lives in us. And then we have the power within us that we can have victory to put away sin and put away evil. Put away those things that will cause us heartache and sorrow in our future. If you've been saved and God's Spirit lives within you, then you can remove the sin and put away the evil. I say remove the sorrow and heartache from your future. Remove shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Remove sorrow that will eventually come from seeds of sin we've sown. Remove sorrow by putting away the sin and evil. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 19, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Boy, we understand, if we're honest, that there's a lot of wickedness in the world around us. There's a lot of sin in the world around us. The Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things of the world. The world's philosophy is to live for yourself. The world's philosophy is to live for today. The world's philosophy is to do whatever you want and have a good time and do whatever makes you feel happy and just follow your heart and do what's pleasing to you and do what makes you feel good. But we can't follow our heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you listen carefully, if you listen carefully to the world's philosophies and the world's allurements and enticements and the world's advertisements, if you listen carefully, you'll hear the you'll hear the hiss of the serpent. You'll hear the subtle, sneaky, deceiving, lying words of Satan. When Satan came to the Garden of Eden, he came in the form of a serpent. Came in the form of a snake. He's a chameleon. He can come to make himself look good. He can come as an angel of light, but really be an angel of darkness. He came denying the word of God. He came trying to convince Eve that God was just trying to withhold something good from her, but that's a lie. That's a lie. The devil's a liar and the father of all lies. Satan wants to wreck and ruin our lives. He wants to make our lives be about wild and reckless and foolish and sinful living and selfish living. That's what he wants. He doesn't want it to be pleasing to God. He wants us to live a life without restraint. Listen, don't follow Satan's rebellious uprising. Don't follow it. Don't follow it in the way where we rebel against God and we want to go our own way, because the way of that will always lead to sorrow and heartache and regret. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Follow Christ. Embrace the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. Following the Lord is the way to a life of joy. Following the Lord is the way to a life of blessing. But living for self, living for sin, will lead to heartache. It will lead to regret. It will lead to heartache. Do things that will cause you to have true joy in life and not leave you with sorrow later. I said, number one, rejoice. Number two, restrain. Number three, remove. Remove. Number one is what? Rejoice. Number two is? Number two. Number two is restrain. And number three is remove. Remove. Number four is remember. 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 Look what it says again in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember. First thought I want you to think about and so on under this is this. Remember God now. In the days of your youth. Remember God now in the days of your youth. Listen, don't waste the years of your youth. Don't waste the years of your youth. Don't waste them. These are days of great strength. You've got great energy. You've got great vitality. Some of you now have strength and energy and a great mind, and you can learn so much and you can do so much. What a better time for you to learn about God and get to know God. What a better time for you to spend time with God and get to know Him. Listen, children and young people learn better than people ever learn when they start to get to be old. Listen, why not learn God and get to know God and use your mind to live for God? Why not use your strength and energy to serve God and do what He wants you to do? Use it for Him. Do something for God now. Live for God now. Be a faithful Christian now. Serve God now. Don't just say, well, I'll do it one day. I'll serve God one day. Do it now. Do it now. Remember now. Remember God now in the days of your youth. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Do you know that young people can be a wonderful example of what a believer ought to be? Young people can get to know God and love God, and you can take all that energy of God and strength, and you can serve God and be a wonderful example to the whole church, to all the believers. Remember God now. Remember God now in the days of your youth. Second thought with this, remember God now, or you may never do it. Remember God now, or you may never do it. Listen, don't neglect to get saved now. Don't put it off. Don't say, well, I think I'll just do what I want to do. I'll sow my wild oats. I'll live myself for myself. I'll enjoy the pleasures of sin, and I'll just get saved one day. Remember God now, or you may never do it. Psalm 9 and verse 17 says, remember God now, for all who forget God shall be turned into hell. Boy, I better remember God now. I better get saved now if I'm not saved. Because if I just keep living for myself and go on in my own life, I may forget God. There may come a day when I no longer want anything to do with God. Hey, remember God now. Respond to the gospel now. Listen to Christ now. Get saved now. If you're not saved. If you don't get saved now, you may never do it. If you allow your heart to become hard or your conscience to become seared, you may die without Christ and go to hell. Statistics tell us that the majority of people who trust Christ as their Savior get saved in their youth. That's just the statistics. The older people get, less people get saved. The older they get, then what gets saved in their youth? Get saved now. Oh, trust Christ now. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why not care about your soul today? Why not care about your eternity today? It requires a decision today. It requires a response today. Don't reject the gift of salvation. Don't repeatedly say no to the gospel message, or one day you may never have another opportunity to be saved. Don't grow old and insensitive when God is calling you to be saved now. Remember God now, or you may never do it. One man told the story about a jet plane that crashed. The pilot of that jet was in training, and he and some other very, very skilled, very highly trained pilots were flying those jet planes in formation. Kind of like the Snowbirds would do, or the Blue Angels would do in the States. Those type of things. Highly skilled pilots and so on. A crowd of people was watching them as they trained. And suddenly one of the planes began to fall, and people gasped, expecting him to parachute to safety. But suddenly he seemed to have control of the jet again. But it happened again. The jet went into a horrible spin and began to fall towards the earth. The pilot could have saved himself by ejecting from the seat, but for some unexplainable reason he did not. He clung to those control sticks in the jet, and he crashed to his death. The pilot tried to work himself out of trouble instead of escaping and saving himself. You know, sadly, that's what it's like for many people. Many may intend to just, well, later in life, I'll settle down to religion. Oh, later in life, I'll do something about my faith or take care of my soul. Many, well, later I'll get myself in church, or later I'll get saved, or one day I'll. Far too often people are clinging to their sins or clinging to their own life and don't want to let go or don't want to live for Christ or don't want to get saved because they just want to hold on to something. And if we don't let go and we don't trust Christ and we don't come to Him, listen, it'll end in tragedy. It'll end in tragedy. People will be lost and unsaved for all eternity. Why? Because they wouldn't get saved now when they had an opportunity, or they wouldn't yield to Christ now when God was calling them to do something for Him. Matthew chapter 16. Look with me if you can find it there. The first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and look at it, verses 25 and 26. First book of the New Testament, Matthew 16, verses 25 and 26. It says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Listen, don't put it off. Don't delay. Get saved. Live for Christ now. Remember God now. Or maybe you never will. Or maybe you never will. Let me give you a third thought here. Remember God now. Because you don't know how long you'll live. Remember God now. Because Eric, you don't know how long you'll live. George, you don't know how long you're going to live. Carlos, you don't know how long you're going to live. Seems exciting now, doesn't it? Being a fairly newlywed and precious little girl that God gave to your family. But we don't know how long we're going to live. Remember God now. You know, children and teenagers and young adults and middle-aged adults die every day. We're not guaranteed a tomorrow. My dad was killed in a farm accident when he was 45 years of age. He was in the middle of life. He had a family and he had a farm to work and a lot going on in his life. And I'm sure he never expected that day that really it was going to be, this is going to be my last day on earth. But it was. My brother was 22 years old. He was married for 7 weeks to a beautiful young bride and, oh wow, what an exciting new life. He was killed in a car accident at 22 years of age. My cousin Lisa is in Cambridge right now in a hospice and dying with cancer, 37 years of age. Listen, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Just a couple months ago in our town, there was a little boy over at Newkirk and Taylor Mills Drive that was struck by a truck and killed. Listen, accidents happen. People die. Remember God now because you never know how long you're going to live. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You have an appointment with death, but you don't know when it is. You'll be at that appointment. You can't skip it. You will be at that appointment on time. You'll show up. Are you ready to die? Have you been saved? Are you ready for the judgment? Are you living for Christ now? Hey, remember God now. Remember God now because you don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know how long you've got. Next thought, remember God now while your heart is tender. The fact that you're in church this morning may be a sign that there's some tenderness to your heart. There's some willingness right now. There's some willingness to listen to God right now. Hey, remember God now while your heart is tender. One hymn writer wrote this, "Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will." Some adults talk about how they used to go to Sunday school or they used to go to church. But now they're older and maybe their heart has grown colder. Maybe their neck has grown stiffer. Maybe their heart is not as tender as it was in their youth. Young people or young Christian, listen, don't ever let that happen to you. It does not have to be that way. You do not have to develop a coldness of heart or develop a heart of stone or become cold or hard or indifferent or casual or callous to the things of Christ. It doesn't have to be that way. Remember God now while your heart is tender. Fully surrender your life to God now while your heart is tender. Commit yourself to the Father's will now while your heart is tender. Solomon in his wisdom challenges us, remember now thy Creator. Ron Hamilton wrote this song, "Take me now, Lord Jesus, take me. I would give my heart to thee. Thy devoted servant make me only thine to be. Savior, while my heart is tender, I would give thee every part. All my talents I surrender. I am thine, Lord. Here's my heart. Remember God while your heart is tender. Remember God now while your heart is tender. Next thought. Remember God now to save yourself from sorrow and regret later. Remember God now. Remember God now to save yourself from that sorrow and regret later. If you've wasted your life, you'll regret it later. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I want you to turn there with me, please, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon here comes to the end of his life, and he has regret that he's wasted so many years of his life. He had lived for pleasure. He had lived for self. He had lived for riches. He had lived for money. He had everything his eyes could desire. He was the wealthiest man. He could have any woman that he wanted. He could have any toy that he wanted, any chariot that he wanted, any car that he wanted. I mean, he could have it all. Saw one of Solomon's, what they believe was one of Solomon's stables areas. And listen, he had everything. He could have everything he wanted. He had everything his eyes could desire. But in the end, he said, it's all vain. It was empty. It was worthless. Notice just a couple verses of it. Notice Ecclesiastes 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verses 10 and 11. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. If I wanted it, I had it. I took it. I got it. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought. And on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. Listen, if you live for yourself, you'll regret it later. If you only live thinking of you, and you only live thinking of your pleasure and what you want and your will, and never think of the future, and never think of the judgment seat, and never think of... Listen, it's okay to rejoice. It's okay to love life, but also remember, restrain. Restrain. Remove that future sorrow and heartache by restraining or removing when some things need to be removed because they've already been done. Listen, remember God now and you'll save yourself from some sorrow and regret later. Remember God now to save yourself from sorrow and regret later. Next thought. Letter F. Remember God now because you're closer to death every day. Remember God now. Because you're closer to death every day. The song kind of mumbled a little bit to Nori there. Happy birthday, you're 1 year older and closer to the grave. Happy birthday. It's true. It's true. Every day you're 1 day closer to death. And you don't know when the appointment is, but I guarantee you're 1 day closer. You're 1 day closer. Old age follows youth. We don't stay young forever. This body that we live in, it's just a temporary body. It's temporary. This is my temporary dwelling place. Isaiah said this, mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. In those days, a shepherd's tent would constantly be packed up and moved from one place to another because the shepherds would just move from field to field and place to place. And so it was just gone quickly, moved quickly. And what we need to realize is that our life can quickly pass away. Our life on earth will be over before we even know it. No matter how old we get, no matter how well we eat, no matter how much we exercise, no matter how much we try to take care of our body, we're all going to die. We're all gonna die. There was a preacher years ago, Lester Roloff, who he was a real health nut before there ever was health nuts. I mean, he was a real health conscious person in how he ate and this and that. Well, he died in a plane crash. I mean, we never know. Listen, we're getting closer to death every day. Closer to dying. Remember God now. Remember God now. In Ecclesiastes there, chapter 12, look at that. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it gives us the description of this old house that we're living in. This flesh that our soul lives in, it's growing older, it's decaying, it's becoming weaker all the time. It says in verse 12, in a day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. That's talking about the arms and the hands and so on. And the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders, that talking about the teeth, cease because they are few. And those that look out of the windows, we are talking about our eyesight. And it goes on in the other verses and talks about our hearing. It talks about the strength of our voice and so on, the daughters of music. Talks about these different things. Listen, your eyes may be strong right now. Or your arms, your legs, your hands, all those things, they may be strong right now. You may be in your youth and you may have strength. You may be muscular right now, but one day, they'll become weak. One day they'll even become a little bit flabby. It'll happen. It doesn't last forever. Right now you could rise up and defend yourself. They're the keeper. But they won't be strong forever. Now you may have sharp reactions. You could throw up your arms and protect yourself. But one day your arms and hands will begin to shake and tremor. Now you may stand tall and straight. But you know what? One day your back may begin to bow a little bit. You may be like my grandfather in his old age. His legs even began to, you know, some people began to bow a little bit in his old age. And when you're young, your legs are strong. And, you know, you can maybe run up the stairs. Later, you only walk up the stairs. And later still, what do? You take an elevator, right? That's the way it is. We're getting older. We get older. Now you may have 20/20 vision, but when you're older, you may need glasses for reading. You won't see as well. Now you may hear every whisper, but one day you may be hard of hearing. Listen, don't neglect to hear the gospel now. Now you may have no trouble sleeping any hour of the day, but one day you'll rise up early at the slightest sound of the birds. Now you may sleep well through the night, but one day you'll wake up often during the night. Now you may have a beautiful, strong singing voice, but one day the choir director may ask you, could you please... I want you to stand in that fifth row right there. That's a perfect spot for you. Wait. There's a reason why they do that. Because the voice is not as strong as it was when you were younger. We're getting older. One day you may have beautiful, long, flowing hair, and one day you'll be old and gray. One day you may enjoy hiking adventures and hanging from cliffs and have no fear at all, but one day, like the verses describe, you'll be afraid of heights. It'll happen. Remember God now. Remember now thy Creator. Get saved now. Live for Christ now. Surrender your life to God now. Billy Sunday was a baseball player with the Chicago White Sox. But he left all that to become a preacher. Henry Armstrong was a world championship boxer, and he left that to become a preacher. Why? Because they decided, I'm going to remember God now. I'm going to remember God now. And they may have wasted a lot of years, but they came to a point where they said, oh, I don't want to waste what I got left. I don't want to waste what I got left. Remember God now. Don't stand like Solomon at the end of your life and think, oh, my life was vain. Oh, my life was empty. I lived it for some things that really didn't matter. Live for God now. Because your arms and hands will grow old and weak one day, why not consecrate them now to serve the Savior? Because your legs one day will bow or become weak, your hips or knees may need to be replaced, you may not be able to get around like you could in your youth, then why don't we now walk with the Lord and go where He wants us to go and allow our feet to take us where Christ wants us to go and share the gospel? Since our eyesight will one day diminish, then can I ask you, what are you using your eyes to look upon now? Will we wear our eyes out by watching things that are sensual or foolish or sinful? Will we wear our eyes out by reading things that are pornographic or perverted? Or will we say like David did in Psalm 119 verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Will you read it now? Will you spend time looking upon the Word of God? Will you spend time reading and studying the precious God, the Word of God? Well, you've got the eyesight to do so now. Will you read it now and hide it in your heart, lest one day your eyes become so weak or you even become blind that one day you could no longer read it when you're old? How better to have read it and filled your heart and mind with it? Before we cannot hear as well, then shouldn't we now listen with great attention to the preaching of God's Word? Shouldn't we now listen to godly, Christ-honoring music that we may fill our heart and mind with good things? While we can hear the preacher's gospel message, while we can hear the plea of a soul winner now, then why not now respond? While we can hear it. While we actually, I'm sure over the years there's been times where there were some older people that sat in places and their hearing wasn't very good. They didn't hear much. Hey, you better hear it now. Hear the preaching now. Hear it and respond to it. Hear the gospel message and respond to it. Remember God now, knowing that one day our voice will weaken and one day our tongue will even lie silent in the grave. Should we not now lift up our voices to sing and praise the Lord? Shouldn't we speak for Christ now? Shouldn't we share the gospel now? Shouldn't we sing for Him now? Remember God now, because you're closer to death every day. Remember God now, because you'll soon be going to your final home. Remember God now, because you'll soon be going to your final home. You know what? This home is just temporary. Your long home is, as Ecclesiastes 12, I think it's in chapter 12, where it describes it, 12 verse 5, his long home. Your long home, your eternal home, that's going to be for a long, long time. That's forever. What'll be your final home? Heaven or hell? Will you be with God? Will you be with the Son of God? Or will you be separated from Him forever? In James chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You boil the water in the tea kettle or the pot or whatever. Boy, you see the vapor come up from it, the little steam, and it's there and then it's gone, isn't it? God says, that's really just what our life is like. It vanisheth away like a vapor. Oh, it may seem now that, oh, I've got years to live. I've got lots of time to live. Really? Do you know that for sure? You've been told that for God? You know you've got another 80 years to live, or 60 years to live, or 40 years to live? Do you know that? We don't know how long we have. This life, no matter how long you live on earth, is short compared to eternity. Your life on earth will be gone before you know it. Where are you going when you die? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you received the new birth? Do you know 100% for sure, without any doubts, that you're a child of God now? And that heaven will be your final home? If not, I would suggest that you better remember now thy Creator. You'd better prepare to meet thy God, as Amos 4 and verse 12 says. He is the God. He is your Creator. And prepare to meet Him. If you die without Christ, it's too late then. I had somebody even this week, again, ask me if I would pray for a dead person. Kindly, sometimes I tell them, pray for their family. I'll pray that God will comfort them. I sure hope they knew Christ. Listen, when somebody's dead, I can't do anything for them. You know, a pope, a priest, or something. We don't get people into heaven somehow. When they die, it's too late. Oh, don't wait till it's too late. One songwriter wrote this: "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from this old sinful world, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know something? I don't have to be afraid of death, because I know where I'm going. And I can be..." I want to remind all of us of it, of this thought. Knowing where you're going ought to be changing the way you're living. Knowing where you're going ought to be changing the way we're living. Do you know you're going to heaven? Listen, our life could be short. We could soon be headed to our final home. Remember God now. We never know when it'll be our last day, so we need to live for God now. Live for Christ now. Make things right with the Lord now. Do now the things you want to accomplish for eternity. If there's something you'd like to do for Christ, do it now. I'll do it next year. You might not get to do it next year. Why not do it this year? Do it now. The words of forgiveness, or the words of apology, the words that you'd like to speak to someone, why not speak it now? Why not go speak it today? Because you don't know if you'll get to speak it tomorrow or next week or next month. The words of love that need to be spoken to someone, well, why not go home and speak it today? You may not get another chance to speak it. Eternity is just ahead. Just ahead. Are you ready? Are you ready? Remember God now because of the judgment seat of Christ. It said there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, if you still have your Bible open, it said this, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Turn back, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'm going to have you see something in a minute as we finish. Remember God now because of the judgment seat of Christ. Remember God now because of the judgment seat of Christ. It will matter then whether or not we live for Christ today. It will matter then if our lives were filled with sin and selfishness. It will matter then if we held grudges or bitterness in our heart. It will matter then if we tried to keep our sins hidden or if we confessed them and forsook them and got things right with the Lord. The Bible does say, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I believe if we take care of some things now, they won't have to be taken care of later. If we've removed some things, that sin that we held in our heart, those things that we held on to, those bitterness, that's all sin. Whether it's works of the flesh outwardly or works of the flesh inwardly, whatever it was, those things, if we'd get them right now, we wouldn't have to deal with the consequences later. Listen, God will judge our motives in that day. God will reward our works in that day. Remember God now. Remember God now. Look at our key verses again. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the way of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." Our first word this morning was what word? Rejoice. Rejoice. Boy, enjoy life. And enjoy your strength, and enjoy your youth, and have a great time. But notice the rest of that verse. "But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." Verse 10, "Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Number one, rejoice. Rejoice. The way to always live rejoicing, we said, is to let God satisfy your soul even from the early years of life. Let God satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. It's true. The world is always searching to be satisfied with things. And there's a lot of things. God gives us good things to enjoy. But you know what? Jesus is the one who will bring the truest joy and satisfaction to you more than anything else. From the early years of your life, even from the days of your youth, learn to rejoice. Learn to rejoice. And let God be your rejoicing. Number two, restrain. Do things that will cause you to have true joy in life and not things that will leave you with sorrow later. Restrain yourself from the sinful passions. Restrain yourself. Flee youthful lust. Proverbs 1 and verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Consent thou not. Restrain yourself. Restrain yourself. Oh, you're just out with some friends, or you're out with some other youth, or you're out with some other young adults, or Satan brings some temptation into our life via the internet, or via television, or this pop-up comes, or this. And it's an invitation to something that we think, oh, it might bring some pleasure, or it might bring some enjoyment in our life. Really? Really? Or will it later bring sorrow and regret and heartache? Restrain. Number three, remove. Remove sin from your life that is robbing you of true joy. Remove the future sorrows and troubles and regrets by putting away evil out of your heart and life. Sin is never as good as the devil makes it seem. It's very temporary. And afterwards, it brings great sorrow. And lastly, remember. Rejoice, restrain, remove, remember. Remember God now in the days of your youth. Listen, don't waste the greatest years of your life. Don't waste the greatest years of strength and health that you've got. Live for Christ now. Remember God now, or you may never do it. You may miss an opportunity. Your heart may become hard or cold one day, and you may not get saved later. You may forget God one day. Remember God now. Remember God now because you don't know how long you're going to live. Life is short. You have an appointment with death. Remember God now while your heart is tender. Seek God's blessing now. Seek God's will now. Surrender to the Lord now. Oh, you say, I'm going to do that. I've got all my life all planned out. I'm going to get saved at this age, or I'm going to do God's will at age 25. I'm going to do this and that. Really? How do you know? Satan's going to fight against you all that he can to keep you from making that decision at age 25. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from having a life that God blesses. You can't have no guarantee that you'll get to live till tomorrow, that one day you'll get to do something. You have no idea. Why not live for Christ now? Why not embrace the faith now? Why not live for him now? We may do some things or make some mistakes if we don't be serious about what we do now, that one day will bring us heartaches into our marriage and regrets into a marriage and regrets as a parent. Remember God now while your heart is tender. Remember God now to save yourself from sorrow and regret later. Remember God now because you're getting closer to death every day. Our bodies remind us of that. Our eyes remind us of that. Remember God now because you'll soon be going to your final home. Where will be your final home? Remember God now because of the judgment seat of Christ. It will matter then how we live today. It will matter then what we did now. Remember God now. Remember God now. Rejoice, restrain, remove, remember. Remember.